September 24th, we'll have the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so everyone should have a copy of the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? No additions or corrections, so I move that we approve the agenda as it stands.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Consent agenda. Has everyone had a chance to look at the consent agenda?
I have.
I have a change.
Have a change?
Yes. It's on page 4 of the packet, which is page 2 of the minutes, and it's a real minor change, but Larry, in his staff comments, he said he would be absent from the September 24th commission meeting, and I put September 23rd, so I changed that. Carolyn brought that to my attention. I've changed it. The minutes that you will be signing today reflect the change.
Okay. Okay, so I move that we approve the consent agenda as modified.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Public comments not related to the agenda. We have one public wants to comment for sure. Bernie, go ahead.
I'm here to represent the Kiwanis for the Maritime Mariners Memorial. And the reason I stopped by is I wanted to drop off a new, I don't know if you guys post these anywhere, but I'll give it to this young lady over here. And then Brad, he decided to buy one of these bronze. So I thought I'd bring it so that he could pick. This one has red. That's the Red Skies in the Morning, the Sailors in the Morning. And then that one's just all black.
I'll take the red one. All right. Thanks, Bernie. Appreciate that.
Now, you guys should feel good about not getting donated. You know where to get a hold of me, though, right?
I know where that's going to go. I think.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie. Good Any night. Other, Bernie?
We're plugging along. We'll get there. And I'm not going to waste any more of your time because there's another meeting. See you later.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So long.
Any other public comments not related to the agenda?
Joe, you got a comment?
No, I love you guys.
Love you guys.
Great, thanks for that comment. Okay, since we have no action items, no second readings, we'll move on to Article 5, 6, the first reading for discussion only, the Five Things We Can Do Summit.
Commissioner Tucker and Larry Crockett attended the summit in January. And the whole gist of this is each government coming together and trying to figure out five things that they can do or we can do together to move this county forward with infrastructure, economic development, education, whatever that is. So we've included the email from that meeting and the minutes from that meeting talking about the different things that the different organizations have come up with. There's going to be another meeting in October. Commissioner Tucker will not be available to come to that meeting. He'll be out of town. So Larry was wondering if one of the other commissioners would like to attend in his place. Also, looking over the list that was submitted last time, the five things that the board put forward were to revisit our joint economic strategy with the county and city, to explore the ag sector, possibly at the airport, infrastructure and repair improvements that need to be made throughout all of our facilities, Aquilosine's strategic plan, moving forward a strategic plan, and our airport industrial park. So if the commission would like to change any of those priorities, if you could let Larry know, then he could bring that to the next meeting.
Yeah, I'll give a little input as to what this whole meeting was about. Essentially, we had Team Jefferson represented in Jefferson County, Main Street, the port, and the chamber. The city, unfortunately, didn't have a representative come there. But they had an addendum added, and also the PUD had an addendum added. Basically what it was we were all trying to figure out things that we could actually accomplish instead of just a wish list of, oh, this would be really be nice. And the reason that we were trying to do it in this group is we wanted to figure out, and I thought this was a really useful thing that he had come up with, was that we wanted to figure out stuff that would actually be supported by other government entities instead of, mm-hmm. that's you out all by yourself. Nobody else cares about that except you. So we had a pretty good discussion amongst all these players here, like I said, except for the city and the PUD who were absent. And the things that we got down to, everyone had a huge list, and they got narrowed down to five things, were things that we could support that Team Jefferson was doing, and Team Jefferson could support that we were doing. And it was kind of interesting to get a consensus amongst all the people there. And I thought that was really the most useful part of the whole meeting. And actually, I thought it was a good meeting. And a lot of these meetings that last several hours can roll your eyes back in your head and make you want to go to sleep. But this one was actually a really good one. And I'm thinking that this next one is going to be to re-look at these issues and figure out if there's been any work on any of these, or if there are any priorities have changed, or if anything else has come up, or if there's any synergies that have developed. For example, if I noticed that there's a food council is trying to get started, and I'm not sure who's involved in that, but that could work in with the agricultural sector. In other words, there's some things that have happened since these ideas have been identified, and it would be worthwhile to see what each group, and it would be nice with the city, I think, has discovered that lately, you know, after they didn't attend, that it was a useful process, and so it would be nice to have the city there so we can talk about how to go ahead. And so, unfortunately, I really can't get out of the thing that I've gotten myself into, so if anyone wanted to go, I think it would be really useful.
Okay. Anything else? We don't have to vote on anything.
No. Okay, is that it, Jim?
That's it.
All right, section B, commission meeting date, time changes.
Well, this happens every time around this time of the year. We have conflicts with holidays. The three conflicts we have are, there are two commissioners, I believe, that are going to the Small Ports Conference, along with Larry, and Sue's going to be gone too. So staff is recommending that we move our October 22nd meeting to 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning instead of an evening meeting, so that everybody can get out of town and get to Leavenworth in time. The second meeting conflict is the 26th of November, is the day before Thanksgiving. So we traditionally move that, and we're thinking of moving it to Tuesday at 1 o'clock. And the 24th of December is Christmas Eve, so we think that probably should be moved to Monday at maybe 1 o'clock also. So staff would like commission input on what's, what their availability is and what they prefer.
I think those suggestions sound fine to me.
Good to me. 3 days. That'll be fine.
However, which time do you guys prefer, 9 or 10 on the 22nd of October?
9.
Does 9 work?
Yes, 9.
Okay.
Okay, racing right along. Any more discussion on the time changes? Okay, we'll go to item C, the draft budget.
This is the first swing that staff has put together. We've had quite a few meetings with all of the managers. This is an operations budget, not a capital budget we've been talking about now. We will be talking about other capital projects later on. We have met with Larry Ozzie, we have met with Al, Doug Lockhart, and Tammy to have input from each of the departments. And this is basically reflective of the expenses that we expect to happen. It does not include any mortgage rate increases, yard increases. It does include increases in leases because we have a lease contract, so we know what those numbers are going to be. So again, this is really for discussion tonight. Amy can go through it. No decisions. Like you to take a look at it and give staff input on where you'd like to see changes. So with that, Amy.
As,
as Jim said, it's just, it's definitely the first draft, so I look forward to your comments, your questions. I mean, this is a working budget, so couple of things to point out. I know I talked to Steve earlier today. We have increased the permanent moorage at the Boat Haven. That is in hopes of assigning more permanent slips. So permanent moorage will come up while the guest moorage goes down. So it's just trying to get a better feel for some of those revenue sources and fully utilize the permanent slips. Everything else is really, it's based on historical trends at this point. And Doug and Tammy have both commented on different areas of the revenues within their departments as well. So not a lot has changed there. The expenses, it is based on CPI increases that all staff will be due. So, and then a little bit of rounding up just for unforeseen overtime, if new staff positions develop throughout the year, just a little bit of room there. The payroll taxes and benefits are based on what we know at this point in time. We still don't have all the rates in, but you know, we tend to get those periodically throughout the end of the year. So hopefully we'll have all of the adjustments to those before we finalize this. We have contract services. We've increased that. Okay, I was looking wrong. So that's pretty much stayed within the 2013 actual. The budget last year was quite a bit less, but you can see 6 months through the year, we're already at $100,000 in contract services. And that has been in part due to demolishing boats, just lots of different contracts that have popped up. The tree removal, there's been a lot of those. So just in planning for that, we're decreasing the legal fees this year in hopes that that'll go down a bit.
So why are you here?
I'll tell you,
they don't charge.
Yeah.
The insurance, this is based on the current rates, so I do have all of the current insurance rates for next year in already. The one thing in the non-operating that I forgot to include, there is an election expense, so and I'd forgotten about that. Everything else, utilities, I've really just done a historical and then added based on some of the increases, you know, looking at where we've gone over the years. The repair and maintenance, that's been budgeted at $275,000 in the past. We brought that down to $250,000, and this is just what's coded to repair and maintenance. It doesn't include the maintenance shop on what we charge there, and it does not include any salaries and benefits, any of that from the maintenance crew. It's just if we have to replace a piece of wood on the dock, that gets charged to repair and maintenance. So that type of thing. The depreciation, I've tried to go through and calculate that as best I could for next year. I guess backing up a little bit, you'll notice bank charges are considerably higher, and that's just with all the credit cards that we accept now. That's really, it's the way things are going. Bank fees are increasing, so that's going. We've got that budgeted at $63,000 compared to the 14 budget was $39,000, but through June of 14, we've already spent almost $31,000. So,
are you guys able, you know, like, are there restrictions because it's a municipality in terms of how you process credit cards? Which processor you use? Can you go through Costco if you want?
We probably could if we wanted. I'd have to look with our system. The processor that we're going through now, it's all integrated within our Marina system. Mm. So it just links right through, and I don't know if Costco would would link in that way.
We just historically, we've been able to keep our credit card fees at par or going down
okay.
for the last 5 years, just from shopping around and being.
Yeah, so I can certainly do some looking and checking with our vendor and see if that's our only option.
We have had made some changes. 4 years ago, we didn't accept credit cards for mortgage. And we have, because it's the way of the future, more and more people want to pay for their mortgage with a credit card. So those fees have increased because of a policy change. We can look at that again, like what we allow to be paid on a credit card, because it is expensive.
Yeah, and then debit cards are becoming more and more popular too, so that's a whole other problem.
So a couple things on this. Again, this is bare bones. The budget you're going to see as a final, when we get that at that point, will look more like Anacortes's. Each, it'll be a lot of text, a lot of verbiage. We'll talk about each facility, what we plan to do at each facility. So it's really going to be intended for the public to look at a budget like this and understand it a little more than seeing 20 pages of numbers. So that will come after we get the numbers kind of sorted. Then we'll put this in a document that will be easily read and talked about. The other thing is, you know, we've had this long discussion on maintenance, capital maintenance, and capital. So Eric has met with Larry Ozzie, and Larry Crockett and I, and the four of us have gotten together and met along with Amy to try to define and put borders on that. What is capital maintenance? What is capital? What is just regular maintenance? So the numbers you see here, you know, the nickname that we use is duct tape and baling wire. This is what it takes just to keep the water on, the electricity there. That's how we fix things. This doesn't include capital maintenance such as roof replacements, boiler replacements that are over $15,000. Oddly enough, the breakwater, $4.5 million project, is going to be capital maintenance because basically it's an existing structure. We've defined capital, just capital, as new capital projects. So we're going to try to outline all that for you and give you a better idea once we get this fleshed out as far as what money is available for capital projects. But Larry Ozzie's had a lot of input in this. He's selected his hit list, and I think well, you all have that because Brad asked us to provide that for you. That's Larry Ozzie's feelings of what he sees needs to be done in a kind of a ballpark estimate. So
just for a little clarification on my part, if we were to replace some roof peaks at Point Hudson with galvanized peaks, that would be like $2,000. That would just be regular
maintenance.
And so that's the one that has gone down from $275,000 to $250,000.
Yeah, we've never really been able to spend that money because we've always thought that included salaries and other things. And when we really realized that number does not include salaries or running the maintenance shop. So it looks like we're reducing, but we're really not. He's still got about actually $25,000 more than he spent this year in that budgeted for next year to just do those kind of things. We've put this arbitrary $15,000. Anything over $15,000 is going to be capitalized. So that kind of lets us have some parameters on what's capital versus what's just regular maintenance.
And so there's a different item in the budget for capital maintenance then?
A different coding.
So does it go into the $275,000 pot of money or not?
It depends.
Well, maintenance items are going to go on the operating statement here as an expense. If it's capital, it's going to show up on the balance sheet.
Well, let's just take that example I just used, galvanized things on the tops of the roof.
It's going to show up right here in the repair and maintenance.
If we did one or two of them. Now, let's say we wanted to do 10 of them. I don't know if that's going to exceed the $15,000 limit or not. Would that thing go to a different spot?
It would. If it's all in one spot, then yes. You know, if it's all fixing that roof and it's extending that roof, and it's over that $15,000, then we would put that on that. We would capitalize that, depreciate it over the life of that asset.
Can you?
If it's within those.
You're good. CJ, did you have a comment?
I have a question first.
Oh, go ahead.
Can you walk me through the capital contributions line item?
The capital contributions.
Synopsis of that. 11, 12, and 13.
Where are we talking about?
We're on page 14, first group of numbers.
Yeah.
Second line down.
That is the 2.2 million, that's the docs that we received from the city of Port Townsend.
And then so, 12?
The 166,000, that was the contributed capital for customs. That was the portion that customs paid on redoing that building there.
So the city bought the docks?
Well,
no, they gave us the docks, but so in order to transfer them, they traded us for Kai Tai.
Oh, so, well, that's right.
Got it. Getting that on our financials.
I understand. I was thinking AV.
Yeah.
No, sorry, Union Wharf. City.
So on, maybe on page 13, the consolidated statement, looks like that doesn't include accounting and general administration.
It does. It's just when it hits this statement, it's all.
Where is it then?
It's spread out wherever it goes. So like all the salaries are within salaries. If there's, you know, I think the easiest one to pinpoint is the 101,000 for legal and auditing. So that all shows up through commission exec in that department, but when it falls through to the consolidated statement, it shows up in the category in which it was expensed.
So why is it spread out like that? Why isn't it a separate line item so that we can have a clear understanding of what that is?
I think it's easier for ourselves to know what our overall salaries are. It is spread out on the individual statements for the individual departments.
Well, in the individual departments, you have a separate line item for Angie.
Right. But when we're expensing things, you know, for, say, our salaries for commission exec and accounting, they get coded to salaries. So that just gets pulled in here.
To me, it just seems to confuse it. This and the same goes for why the maintenance shop and their salaries and wages isn't included in the consolidated statement either.
It is. It's all just.
Well, you just said that this $250,000 that's budgeted for next year does not include the maintenance shop.
That doesn't include, that's repair and maintenance for the facilities as a whole. That's not the salaries and benefits. All the salaries and benefits for the port are the 1.7 million. So, I mean, to pull out everybody's salaries, it would almost
be. Okay, never mind the salaries, but the maintenance shop is not included, the costs associated with the maintenance shop itself and activities that go on in the maintenance shop are not included in this $250,000, correct?
Correct.
And that's the part that I don't understand, why not?
Because the maintenance shop, if you look at page 24, their overall budget for 2015 is $172,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's spread out between salaries, payroll taxes, benefits. It's spread out through all of the same categories. So there's just the small piece of repair and maintenance within the maintenance shop of $11,000 that is showing up in that $250,000 line.
I still don't get it. I still don't see why that's not included.
Let me try one. Oh, that's not going to work either. Oh, yeah, it is going to work. I'm tracking with you, Brad. I'm kind of. So, Amy, if I add up all of the allocated A&G, I think I came up with something like $1,051,000 or close to that.
Just right.
Kind of did a really rough number in my head. Is that the $1,051,000 that I see on page 25, administration?
It is.
Is that what you're doing there?
It
taking
is.
All your individual departments?
Yeah.
Okay, I get that.
And I need to add in that $60,000 that was brought in after that. So that needs to be. But yes, that's exactly what it is. So all of the individual departments should add up to that $1,051,000.
Okay, they do. Okay. See what I did? So I took all your allocated A&Gs from each department, added them up, and it's that number on page 25.
Gotcha.
And the same goes if you add up all of the salaries from every department, including maintenance and administrative, it equals the 1.74.
Okay. So is the A&G, is that, how's that based? Is that based on revenue or what's that based on?
The allocations to the departments are based on revenues, yes.
So what is the, just curious, what is the equation for that?
I allocate it on a quarterly basis, and I take the gross revenues for that quarter divided by the total, and that's the percentage of that I use to allocate the A&G.
Okay. But it's my understanding it has to do with whatever the revenue number is, that you have some sort of a equation that you multiply, that you introduce with that number, and that ends up with...
Right. Department revenues divided by gross revenues.
Okay.
Times the A&G.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay, getting back to the structure of this, the nuts and bolts, basically the basic structure, we had a discussion this last year about environmental, the terminology being applied to mortgage, and we had the discussion showed up that with the environmental fee, not called the environmental fee, that same amount of money that was being collected was the same as the average. So we decided that we were going to remove that term environmental fee from the mortgage because it's really not accurate. And so if that's the case, then that would change our environmental section here because there would be no mortgage contributions to it. And so I was thinking that along the lines of what Bertram was suggesting, that the money that covers environmental just come from the general fund. I mean, we still collect environmental fees where environmental fees are appropriate. But that kind of begs the question as to whether we need to have mortgage with an environmental fee attached to it, if we actually need to still have that line item environmental fees under the income. We just have a track what our expenses are so we'll know what it is, but just take the environmental from the general fund.
And that's a conversation, you know, that you guys need to have, and let me know which direction we truly want to go. We've talked about doing away with all the environmental fees and just putting it all within the rates, even for the haul out, for everything. So
I think it was one of CJ's suggestions that, you know, we shouldn't have all these fees. Environmental should be just melted into the mortgage rates. Environmental should be melted into the yard rates. It's the cost of doing business. How much does it cost? And that's what we're going to bring to the next meeting, how we would redo the rate structure. Because there are quite a few tenants that think we nickel and dime them to death. They have 10 different fees, TARP fees, environmental fees, electric fees. Let's just give them a fee. How much does it cost to haul a 37-foot boat? Here it is.
Because that is going to be included.
Yeah. So that will be, as soon as you all approve that structure, then we can modify this. But for right now, we don't have the authority to change that.
So to approve that structure, that's something that we have to decide upon in an open meeting and have a first and second reading and all that sort of stuff?
Well, it's part of the rate structure.
Right.
So it's that whole rate discussion.
We've kind of started that rate structure discussion when we were talking about the environmental fees in mortgage. So I think that we should continue it. And I'm of the opinion that we should do just what they suggested. Forget all the fees and just pull it out. I mean, we still need to track how much we spent for environmental, obviously. But as far as spending it, and that's different. Go ahead, Bill.
Just to share a couple of thoughts on that. I think that keeping what the port presents to tenants simple, say, you know, X service cost X fee without all the nonsense, but at some point all that kind of trivial stuff that got taken out of the fee schedule needs to be available for the public to see, so that if my hangar rate goes up, you know, $5 a month, because all of a sudden the port's responsible for, you know, runoff, water, and mitigation or something like that, it's okay for my fee to go up $5 a month, but at some point, just in the interest of you know, open governance, that, you know, all those kind of line items be detailed, you know, per service, so that people can go back. I think it makes it clearer to the commissioners and to staff to know exactly why these things changed, and it gives some way for the public to go back and say, oh, that's why it's, you know, up $5. It's not just arbitrary. Somebody raised my rate $5.
So you probably actually really read your phone bill and go through all those.
I don't frequently, but when my phone bill goes up, you know, a big jump, then sometimes I do.
Well, and that's kind of like saying, getting back to having all these fees delineated out, and that's what we're trying to get away from.
It is, but I think it, from the perspective of the port's a business, and the business has to charge what services cost. So if there is a, you know, if environmental costs go up a certain tick, you know, I think it's reasonable that the port make that tick reflected in the charges of services. I'm just saying that you know, while on the one hand, it's nice to see a really simple, straightforward bill at the end of the month. On the other hand, you know, Amy's keeping track of all the stuff and what it's costing. There just needs to be some sort of way that when somebody comes stomping the front door to cost Sue, that she can hand them the sheet and say, this is what happened. This is why your rent is this way.
CJ, did you have a comment?
Well, at this point, my comments are accumulating.
Uh-oh.
And at the risk of being called a curmudgeon twice in one week, I'll offer a few. First of all, as a first reading, I'm absolutely amazed that we have this document in front of us, having just been told by staff that we're going to have a different document as final that'll actually explain what services are being proposed to occur to support the budget. It would appear that, you know, the maintenance schedule and all of those items come in advance of all these numbers. You know, so I think we've got the cart before the horse.
I feel the same way, CJ.
So what we really did want to see, and I really did state very, very clearly in several previous sessions, that I expect to see a credible budget with supporting documents. And if I don't, then I'm going to sit here and be a real pest until I do, and you know it. Because good sailing weather's gone, and good roofing weather's gone, and I've got a little bit of time. So I would encourage staff, I would encourage commissioners to direct staff to get on with the process of what they said that they're going to do and bring it to us in a presentable form that we can review. Not this, which is business as usual. Secondly, with regard to the making the bills more simple, I don't really want to take credit for that, although I may have supported it. I think it would be a good thing to do. I think we have far too many line items in the rate structure, and I think invoicing, tracking of services and everything else, and certainly accounting would be much easier if we simply did have a fee for, here's what it's going to cost to haul your boat poop. This many feet,
this many tons, you know, these services, you know, forget about the TARP fund. Just, the port will provide the tarps. No, you can't bring your own tarps. The port provides that service very well. There's a whole list of things like that that the port should just continue to do because the staff out there in that yard does it real well. And they do it on a regular basis. So why make it more complicated by giving people options? And with that, I'm going to shut up for a minute.
CJ, let me comment on a couple things. I actually think that what Amy has brought is pretty helpful for me.
There is, yes, I agree, I'm sorry.
In less than 5 minutes of looking at this, whenever I got this, I could tell right away that, you know, there's a hole in the budget on the consolidated side of it to the tune of about $300,000, and there's a loss in the yard of about $300,000. Rates are going to go up in the yard. You know, that's plain and simple. We're going to plug a hole here. And so I kind of disagree with you that for a first blush, I think it's, for looking at a $5 million operation with this environmental gorilla on our back, it's pretty easy to see what's going on with the money year to year. I mean, I'm looking at the last 4 years coming up here, 3.5. So it, you know, it certainly gives me everything that I would look at for our business to determine what I'm going to do next, what my next step is going to be. So I grant you, I'm looking forward to the dialogue that goes along with it. I think that's definitely cool, but it certainly shows me a picture of what's going on here.
I'll respond and say, yes, I agree it was informational and it scares me to death, but what I really want to see is the support for it.
Right. Okay.
Okay, is there any more on the draft budget, Amy?
I don't think so.
Jim?
This is probably some simple explanation. Amy's on page 23, repair and maintenance for the airport. To date, end of June, so it's $348. Is that, that's not right, is it?
Yeah.
Yep.
How can that be?
There's no salaries. That's just buying 2x4s or whatever we have to buy, but it's not. You know, the FAA pays for most of that stuff out there at the airport.
Okay.
Quick question on salaries and wages with environmental. That is certainly gone through the roof. We know why. But it actually, you're thinking it's actually going to pull back a little in 115? Or to 115?
Because I think last year we budgeted for a 1.5 FTE plus pieces of some of the maintenance crew. So as we get that more in line, and I think Johnny's really more of about a 0.25, 0.3 in there.
Well, we're capitalizing.
And a lot of stuff would be, yeah.
So that's going to be capitalizing to come on.
Okay. And then one other one is, so in the yard, salaries and wages is the haul out crew, right?
Yes. And probably a little bit of maintenance if they're doing stuff in the yard.
Right.
So now, one change we made there that might not there yet, but is Shannon used to be credited to mortgage.
Okay.
And she is now transferred to the yard operation. She reports to them. So that could affect some of it.
She was there in 14 too, though. So, yeah.
Shannon in the yard.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Used to be a customer service rep under the mortgage, and that's changed now.
So, following up on that, just kind of an FYI, if we anticipated putting more people to work to get. Like yesterday, I noticed sitting front and center, because I happen to be sitting front and center like you were, that, you know, if we had more people on staff, we could be running 70s and the heavy, and we wouldn't be running back and forth like a crazy person. Jim and I commented on it a couple times, and he said, you know, what's really cool is the half
and half FTE between maintenance and yard, which I think is a good idea. And so if we were going to do something like that, we would see salaries and wages go up in both maintenance and yard a little bit.
So I guess I missed the front and center part. You were watching.
Well, we were hauling one of our boats out yesterday.
Yeah.
And they were going as quick as they could. There's not enough of them down there. So, you know, the 270s could have been running a lot faster than they were, 70 ton haul outs. And the heavy was busy with Coast Guard stuff going on, which sucks up a lot of manpower when the heavy's running, the 300 ton. So I was just commenting, if we get into budget and we want to add more people into the yard, that's something we might want to look at to make the travelers work more efficiently, haul more boats, create more revenue.
So right now you're saying that the lack of staff is keeping us from hauling as many boats as we have available?
Could be.
Seasonally. Seasonally is the issue, and that's where this employee sharing is so important. If we can get a person that can work in maintenance, like Charlie Chaw, works half-time in maintenance and half-time in the yard, that's a marriage made in heaven, because they quite often are different times needed. So that's worked pretty well.
As we roll through September, if you go into the yard office, it's booked up. All of September was booked up in the first week of September. And fishing hasn't even started rolling in yet. So when the big guys show up, it's going to get even more.
Speaking of the yard office, Shannon's really spread thin in there. I mean, it's super thin to the point where she can't really keep up. Mm-hmm. She needs Doug in there to help with a lot of those tasks. And he has to be out in the yard to accommodate, you know, the peak busy point in time.
And the insurance requirement is really just that much more right on top of Shannon's head, getting all the insurance and paperwork that we're required.
Oh yeah, like I was in there again yesterday, and she's trying to get one guy to give her the insurance, and he doesn't have it, but he's ready to haul, and so it's busy.
This is the insurance requirement that's been required of people hauling out for quite a while.
Yeah.
Right.
We never really made them bring their certificate in, how it has to be filed, and you know, we're requiring Shannon to do all that extra work that she didn't do before. She just said you needed insurance. Now you need to prove you have insurance.
But from what I've seen, I've spent the last 8-9 months in the yard pretty regular, and I'd say that she's really buried. To the point where she really should have a lot more help than she's getting, and you know, concerned about.
It was kind of like, oh, I went to a doctor's appointment today in Pulpo, and I walk in, and there's three gals like in bank teller booths, sitting there taking everybody in, taking the initial information. There's two other gals behind them, in cubicles, just answering the phone, and it was just four doctors, but it was pretty impressive that. Here was five girls kind of running the admin part of it. And I'm thinking, and I thought of Shannon yesterday. Yeah. And like, oh my God.
Well, she's always multitasking in there trying to keep up.
Yeah.
I'd say that she's got too much on her plate.
So how do we discover these things in the first place? I mean, I would never go in and talk to Shannon because I don't have a big boat to haul out, but you obviously have. So how do we discover them, and then how do we figure out solutions? In other words, would your half a FTE, would that help her out, or probably not?
I think it would. Well, I mean, that might be something where we do a half an FTE between the yard office and the moorage office. Same kind of thing. I mean, we have seasonal influxes where things are happening there as well, where you can juggle manpower a little bit.
Doug and I have met quite a bit on this, and one of the things that he would like to see, and I'm agreeing with, is we have a need for a project manager, if you will, a boat project manager. So you check your boat in. It's like, yes, sir, where's your insurance? Where's your documentation? Take that off of Shannon's plate, and then that person follows through. You said you were going to be done next week, sir. You're not done next week. How long were you going to be here? We have no one tracking those projects in the yard. So I think the combination of clerical staff and yard project maintenance or management would be a good position to take some heat off of Shannon.
Yeah.
So that's what Doug believes would be beneficial too.
So I have one more comment about the budget, and that has to do with maintenance and so on. There's, I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at this document that Mr. Ozzy and Eric Taze put together for a 2015 operations and capital budget. At some point in the verbiage that's going to come at some later date for this budget, I had hoped that, that this information that they've come up with as far as future maintenance requirements, whether it can be done in, plan on being done in the next year or the next 5 years, the next 10 years, that information is inclusive in our new budget. Mm-hmm. So we can prioritize, and if there's not enough money to do it next year, then that's all the more reason to have it in the budget, because we've got to find the money somewhere.
Just like a working Excel sheet, yeah, where you would see them coming in future years.
So I think we need to probably have in the budget some different scenarios, like half an FTE, if that will figure out how it would work with to help Shannon out or Morris or whoever. Because I think we all agree that the yard and the marine trades are one of our biggest assets. We don't want to be tightwad nickel and diming them to out of existence. So,
hey, so Jim, is there a way, could Doug come up with a way? I mean, does Doug have a way of saying, okay, if we had, you know, three more guys or whatever it was in the peak season, would that produce this many more haulouts? Or, I mean, I really don't know how it physically works in terms of his puzzle that he puts together. Like, they got to hit the washdown, then they got to go get blocked, and then they go do something. I mean, if there were more personnel, would it actually pick up the pace in terms of us moving more boats and making more money? Or is that pie in the sky? Is that not possible?
But we've got to know that it's not going to increase productivity 50%.
No.
You know, there is a point of diminishing returns.
Right.
When you're going to keep all the machines running.
Right.
So we've been plagued with crew issues, personal problems, health issues. We all know.
Right.
We've got some issues. That's being resolved. So we're trying to get people healthy so they can. But like I told you yesterday, I'm really worried we're killing our staff.
Right.
Literally breaking them. And they're working so hard for us that we need some relief.
Yeah.
That will help.
Yeah. Yeah, we have, Steve, you know, probably, do you know Tim Nelson out here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, gosh.
Can hardly walk.
He can hardly walk. Yeah. I said, so yesterday I said, so Tim, when are you getting your knee fixed? And he said, I got to go till next summer to get it fixed. There's no way. And I said, how are knee braces working? Because I haven't found one that works yet. And he's been spending thousands on knee braces just to try and figure out how to keep himself rolling.
So, it's a tough job.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
But thank you for being concerned about staff, because we've come from a culture of cut staff. And that's why we're where we're at. And so thank you for recognizing that.
Yeah, well, I think that this isn't that culture. And so maybe in the new budget we could look at some expenditures there to see if we can make things, you know, for the next one that we talk about.
Great. Thank you.
Let's see. Where are we at? We're on, we went back to budget. We were supposed to be in August. Oh, we're in August financials.
So we've got the August financials in front of you as well. Through August, our gross operating revenues were $3.4 million, up from $3.166 last year. Right now, through August, we were 67% through the year, and we've collected just over 70% of the projected revenues. All of the departments, except for quilting and the ramps, are showing an increase over the prior year. Our total operating expenses, 67% through the year, we're running at about 71.36%, so we're a little higher there. With our total operating expenses, less depreciation, coming in at 2.7 this year compared to 2.4 million last year. And right now we're sitting on net income of $24,000. The net loss from operations after depreciation is $322,000. But then once you bring in the property tax revenue and all of that, the net income gets down to $24,000. So it gets up to $24,000. I don't know, Brad, I was going to look through here and see on the airport if that had changed at all. Nope, not really. Sorry. $371,000 through August to in repairs. So
on, page 32, operating expense without depreciation. So Amy, you're saying our budget for the year is 3.8, right?
Yes, 3.8. Right now we're at 2.7.
So we've got $1,000,001 to spend.
Mm-hmm.
And at 71% that we've done, do you think we'll be under that by the end, or at it, or close to
it? You know, I think, the majority of the legal fees are hopefully behind us, so that one will start coming down. It should be right in there. I mean, I think we'll be within budget.
Okay.
I'm not anticipating, you know, that we'll be
blowing sideways somewhere.
Yeah.
But we're looking at the yard to continue at the same pace. I mean, mm-hmm. October is already booked already. So it'll be above projection. So I think we can eat through some of that pretty quickly.
Right. And our salaries, benefits, that's staying right in line, you know, with 67% through the year.
Okay.
So, and again, the contract services, you know, with those boats being destroyed, I want to say it was almost $20,000, possibly more than that. The tree removal, just doing all the key codes on the environmental centers. So we've had some huge contracts, you know, that aren't continual.
Right.
Speaking of those key codes, have you noticed a drop in the garbage rates?
Not at the rates, because they still pick up the dumpsters, but we have noticed a huge decrease in garbage and cleanliness. So that is really good, but they still charge us to pick up dumpsters. So
then all that work we did isn't going to affect any lower garbage haulage rates,
it was common practice when they would show up, the garbage cans were overflowing, and there was stuff all over the ground, and staff had to deal with it. You know, so I mean, there was an expense right there, and that stops. There hasn't really been any orphan waste that I've heard or seen of around environmental centers. And every time I go in there to use it, it's like it's empty or half empty or whatever. So it's been pretty drastic.
We might be able to adjust our schedule of pickup to reduce. But right now, it doesn't.
Even after busy weekends, they're half empty. Which was awesome. Never happened in the past. There would be overflowing, all stinky.
So claims and damages is the settlement?
Yes, the two settlements. So I don't know if you guys have any other questions on the August financials.
Okay, so we have no potential immediate action items, so we're to staff comments.
Jeff, anything new to say?
Yes, next Monday would have been the start of the Kinko's lawsuit had it not settled. And that's always a bit of a fire drill going into a litigation, so congratulations. And I think that's all I have.
Tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, Mr. Taves and I will be in a car headed for Olympia to try to get $250,000, actually a little more than $250,000 from Recreation Conservation Organization. So this is our final presentation, and we should know where we ranked by mid-October. So hopefully it's good news for us. So.
Okay, public comments. Any more comments? Go ahead, Joe.
The only thing I wanted to comment on was just, and this is not pertaining to anything on the agenda today, but the PTM today is drafting a letter to all of its members to send out to do an additional push. If you're not currently registered with the port, have your business license registered, we need you to do that. And I think that would, part of that is, it would give us a better idea as a group as to maybe how many people are actually out there. So we're going to do what we can to get out as many emails as we can, encourage people to come in and get on the roster, basically. And then that way, hopefully that will help us be more knowledgeable continuing forward with the insurance issue and all of that. So, but I just want you guys to know that's what we're doing. And we will send you a copy of the draft before we send it out to the members and make sure you guys are okay with it.
Well, thank you.
To that point, Joe, if I may, Larry Ozzie is making up two large signs to put at the entrance to the yard, both this side and the other side, that says, attention, independent contractors must register at the yard office before proceeding. So at least we want to put people on notice at the entrance to the yard that this is a requirement to work in the yard and see if we can get any more people to listen to that.
What else are you getting from everybody?
What do you mean, what else?
Well, just comment-wise about insurance or working in the yard.
You know, I don't know. I went over, Joni dropped off the entire referendum and whatever the agreement was in 2007 or whenever they did it. And it seems pretty comprehensive to me. I think the main sticky point is going to be that your smaller independent contractors, I don't think they're not against registering as a business and through the BMPs and all of that. I think it's more, can we find them an option that financially works for them? Because I don't want to see those people go away. The boatyard needs them whether we like it or not. I mean, they get stuff done. So it's just more, meeting maybe with Peter Quinn, we're talking about getting together with Peter Quinn, seeing if we can form some kind of a conglomerate group that they can get insurance through. So I think it's more just going to be, let's do something that covers everybody, but let's do our best to try to find out what the best option is for those small guys.
Yeah.
And so far, you've always got your whiners that, take up the torch and run with it. But for the most part, I don't think people are against, from what I've heard, against doing their fair share. As long as we can find something that's reasonable for them. Just like Joni was saying, if you make $10,000 a year out of the boatyard and your insurance is $2,000, man, it doesn't make sense for those people. But if we can find them a group option or something like that where they can get away with $400 a year, $500 a year, something of that nature, then that's pretty much what we're trying to find. It's just hard to find.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bill?
There's an inspection, FAA inspection, scheduled for Friday. Does anyone have any finer timeline on that? Is it morning, afternoon? Is it a surprise?
It's a surprise. Okay. I would suspect they do this every 2 years. They're there most of the day. They inspect lights, runway condition, obstructions. So we've had maintenance crew out there all week trying to get things pretty and make sure the trees are all trimmed. But you probably won't know much. You'll see a bunch of people in white suits walking around.
Okay. CJ?
With regard to Commissioner Henke's comment about our hole in our budget, which is scary,
Yeah. And
the possibility of raising rates, yard rates, are we convinced that we're moving all of the boats through the yard that we can right now physically that want to come here?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And this ties in with your comment about more employees. I mean, if we raise rates and drive away business, then we're not going to need more employees. But the perception of our competition, I think, needs to be looked at very hard. I think that we should raise rates. There's no doubt that we need to raise rates because I think we're giving away services right now. And I think we probably need to look, frankly, at renegotiation of some of our tenant rates as well. I think all of those should be reviewed, regardless of whether or not we've got leases. If we're this far in the hole, then the tenants may not be contributing fairly to the overall picture and may be benefiting at the expense of the taxpayers, which includes all of us. Because clearly, if we've got this big a gap, we're going to be raising the amount that we charge the taxpayers again. And that's undesirable.
But we haven't raised it.
With a going concern, it would seem...
Right.
It would seem that this business ought to be operating a little bit closer to the black. So the trick is to get more utilization out of the yard. And that may require some sales effort.
Do you think we can do the yard more, Joe? Is there room to pick it up more?
I think so.
Pace?
Yeah. But I do think you're also, just what Jim said, you've got some staff that are pretty broken up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that kind of steamrolls the physical problem that you're dealing with some of your crew also.
I mean, you did that. You know what's going on.
Yeah, and then I left and hired other people to work. Yeah, it's extremely physical to work in the yard.
Yeah.
A creosoted block that's 12 by 12 that's 2 feet tall weighs about 100 pounds, and you have those up on your shoulder all day long and walk on your knees underneath big boats while it's on your shoulder to block the boat. It's a really physical job. I think it's a lot more physical than people think. What happens is I think they see the guys in between boats, and they go, oh, great, what a job. Well, when those guys are going, they're moving a lot of weight. I mean, and physically, there's no way to do it conveniently. There's no machine that puts blocks under a boat. A human being rolls the thing under there and stands up blocks and does it. So I think the main thing is I look at when I was working for the port, we had a larger crew than what you have right now. You know, and I think you had maybe a little bit more experience crew than what you have right now, too. So it's, I don't think you're ever going to get away from the fact that Willie Coyotes, the, you know, all the guys out there that have, you know, well, quote unquote, hit the golden BB and are on disability for the rest of their lives. It's just because of what they do for a living. It's going to happen. They're going to break. Mm-hmm. And that's just the nature of the beast, unfortunately. But I think if you could increase the yard crew, I do think the potential for increasing boat movement goes up quite a bit. Because you get the experienced guys that will do more of the driving and directing. And it's a young man's game. Being on the yard crew is a young man's game.
Yeah, you were smart.
And it's just kind of how it is, unfortunately. It's just how it is. But I do think increasing the crew would give you the option of increasing the amount of boats you need, for sure.
I would have to agree from what I've seen. They're good, and they work hard. I don't see any slackers out there.
But I still, as on that same comment, whether it's an increase in tenant rates, you know, or an increase in yard rates, either way, if you increase tenant rates, that's going to still go to the customer. That's going to increase the hourly rate that the business is charged and stuff like that. So in the end, the customer is going to pay it. You know, I mean, that's just kind of how it is. It's just, I mean, you're only bringing in so much money. So if your rate goes up and your profit gets cut in half because your rates went up, you're going to increase the rate you charge your customer to make up for that. So, I mean, I don't want your guys' job, I can tell you that. Because your expenses are always going to go up and everybody's always going to want to pay less. That's just how it is. And I'm one of those people that would love to pay less, so.
Yeah. Okay, I think we've heard all the public comments, all three of you, so it's time for commissioner comments.
I'm good. I have no comments.
Just like to ask a question. When do you think, what time period for the budget coming up with some verbiage and something that's also going to include, you know, Mr. Ozzie's and Tay's operation capital maintenance? When do you think that we'll be seeing something like that?
I'm working on it every day, so I mean, I would certainly hope by October.
Okay.
You know, you can have a draft at the next meeting, but it'll definitely be a draft.
That's what I
Okay. We're finally getting around to getting a web presence after some false starts with our communications guy who had some personal problems. And so what he's getting around to asking is for some things to put on the website. And one of the things that I've always wanted to do is to get more communication to the general public so that just these three guys in here aren't the only ones that know what we're doing. And so in the past, you guys don't live in the city. Well, when you get a city bill, you get a little message from David King, the mayor. He tells what's going on in the city. And we're going to have an opportunity to do something like that on the website on a monthly basis. And in the past, it was kind of been the president's message, which would then be like the thoughts and the motion and the moments that's happening in the commission meetings. And so I don't want that to just be Steve's pulpit. I want that to be what we're doing for the group. And so what I'd like to have you guys start thinking about is in the commissioner comments from going forward, we're probably going to have a once a month thing that Kevin's going to do. It'd be nice if you could get some thoughts, gather some thoughts together, because I can't talk to you individually except here. And so it'd be good if we could collectively together give some input to Kevin that I'll put some words to so that he can publish it in the newsletter. And so anyway, I realize it's short on us now, and I'll just try to give him something for this month that we're working on. But think about it for
October.
And so that we can have a cohesive message from the whole commission, not just from me.
Also, I don't know if you guys know, but you can subscribe to the newsletter, and anytime any news is posted to the website, you get it on your phone.
That'll be a good thing to talk about at the first of the president's message, is now we're communicating, and this is one way to get those communications.
So you really don't have a lot of subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 30.
Hmm. Well, I didn't even know you could do it, so. Mm. Bill.
The radio program is still a available option should you choose to avail yourself of it.
I use the radio before every meeting. I send them our agendas, so for the calendar, and they read it.
Talks with the staff, talks with the commissioners, kind of thing, on a regular basis. So, you know, getting some of those things out. So, an audience that doesn't necessarily read the court webpage every day.
Well, I had an interview with Phil when I first became a commissioner, and he said that he was going to make it a regular thing before I had the interview with him, and then after the interview, he never asked me back. So I figured it must have been a really bad interview. I don't know.
I'll check with Phil. Find out what I'm doing for.
Okay. There's no executive session, so that's...
Steve, I wonder if I could ask for a 5-minute executive session on a real estate matter just to bring you up to date.
Okay, so I guess then we're going to have an executive session.
No decision or anything, just bring up to date.
Okay, so then this meeting portion is we're going to adjourn into an executive session.